This is Mud from the Lost Omens podcast. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. For more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFRP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping, or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at BeardedDragonGames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
All right, welcome back to Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Your Marvel Crisis Protocol and Shatterpoint vlog. I am joined by two incredibly special guests this week. They are going to be heading up the TO staff for Star Wars Shatterpoint this year at Adepticon 2024. I'm joined by both Chris and Joe. Welcome, guys.
Thanks. Hey, Tim. How are you doing?
Very well. Very stoked. We're about a little over a month out from the big show itself. Tell me a little bit about, you guys are both on the Shatterpoint TO staff. What has been your kind of your history with Shatterpoint? Did you get on it at launch, or has it been more of a recent addition?
So we both were from launch, pretty much day one. Joe and I actually helped out with Gen Con on behest of AMG, and we've been painting a lot of terrain basically since we got our hands on it.
Joe, same deal, right? Just kind of like Day one, you're on board.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was kind of looking for a different game at the point when it came out, and the low model count skirmish thing really appealed to me, and of course Star Wars does too. So yeah, it was a no brainer.
Yeah, That's kind of been what it's been for me as well with MCP and with Shatterpoint. I think everyone has that kind of pedigree in Warhammer, right? And then when you get busier and you just want to be able to play some games and have some fun, the skirmish style really is appealing. And that's what it was for MCP for me. And then Shatterpoint, they announced, and I was like, okay, all right, cool. I hadn't gotten into Legion yet. I hadn't really played X-Wing. I had done a couple demo games, but when they announced Shatterpoint, it was like, okay, all right, here's the one I can hop in on at release. I don't have to learn anything. I'll be learning it with everybody else. It really kind of was a perfect addition to AMG's lineup. Tell me a little bit about Gen Con. So I was there. I was doing demos for the new core box for Marvel Crisis Protocol. Announced at Adepticon kind of like last year, Gen Con was kind of one of the first big conventions that had an actual event for Shatterpoint. What were players like there? Like, I know there was a pretty decent turnout as well. But what was kind of the flow there? Was it all Obi-Wan and I guess Vader wasn't out at that point, but was it all Obi-Wan and like Grievous, or was there kind of a mix up?
I mean, there was a pretty limited amount of models out at the time. So we kind of got what people had and had been able to get put together before the event. So there was a lot of redundancy there. So, but there was a decent enough mix for what was there. You saw a little bit every one of the primaries. So
nice. So when you guys are either playing at home or at your LGS, like what are the primaries you're normally sticking to? Are you Gar people? Are you Separatist?
We kind of one of the selling points for this was I got an 11-year-old, 12-year-old now, and we demoed it, and he's latched right on, and we just grab stuff, right? I don't think we're trying to still be caught up with all the different, right? You got Night Sisters now, and you've got the game's going to grow really, really fast here too in the next week. So I'm not locked into any one particular thing.
That's super fair. How about you, Joe?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, initially I was just trying to play one primary just to kind of get the feel of that character, which was Asajj. Had mixed results with it myself early on, but, you know, I didn't just kind of try to stick to one thing and learn it from the start. But again, not married to anything yet.
I think that's one of the kind of the benefits of the squad building, right? And Shatterpoint is like, you can kind of mix and match a little bit. You can lean into a particular primary if you have a favorite character, and then kind of mix and match from there based on kind of the roster and requirements and stuff like that. Like if you really want to have Asajj and Snips and some 212th, you can. It might not be the greatest, but you can, and it still works. I think that's one of the big strong points of the roster list building as a whole. Going into Adepticon this year, they kind of announced a whole bunch of new formats. Between one with the Force League, the Premier Showdown is pretty straightforward, but Gonk Racing, Frenemies, and Best Buds. I know that we have the rules for Best Buds and Frenemies. So with those two specifically, are there anything that you have kind of like had to go over as TOs as far as like rules interactions or particular setups that people might bring that like you're looking out for, or are on the flip, are there things that you're like excited to see? Like Best Buds seems pretty straightforward, but are there particular setups or roster built lists that you're like, okay, I'm curious if anyone is going to do X, Y, or Z?
I might have a different look at it, right? You know, we obviously the first thing we look for is like what problems are we going to run into, you know, from list creation and that kind of thing. I don't know that there's a ton there, right? If you use Best Buds, honestly, that's just another version of how most people play the game, right?
Yes. Yep.
So not a lot going on there. There's a couple of weird interactions, but not a lot going on there. And then Frenemies just kind of pushes people into a place where they might not be comfortable, right, by kind of breaking that and saying, oh, you have to pick two different, you know, it's not an official term, but I call them like main factions, right? Galactic, yeah. Republic, Separatists. You have to pick two, right, and run with it. So I think it'll be interesting, right, like we mentioned a minute ago, right, Shatterpoint gets a lot bigger in a week and a half or so here as, you know, five more boxes hit. It'll be interesting to see early adopters and, you know, just what people do with it. But the game's new enough still that, right, I don't think I have predictions or hopes, right? Eyes wide open.
I think that's a great way to put it. I've seen some other content and stuff out there with specifically Frenemies, right? So there's a bunch of different tags that just kind of won't be available. Not a bunch, but like there's a couple of boxes that just kind of can't be utilized in that particular event format, like Bounty Hunters, because they're not Galactic Empire, Galactic Republic, Rebel Alliance, or Separatist Alliance. And I really kind of like the double down on that, because they're kind of one of those flexes where like you can have Cad Bane in there in most formats, and he kind of works with most other primaries, but you can't kind of rely on that versatility here. You're Ahsoka and Darth Maul, and you're in the middle of it, and you just got to work together. And I think that's a really cool kind of format to have. Then there's Gonk Racing as well. We haven't had the rules released for this at all. The kind of description of this is really, you know, high octane 3 mile an hour fun, which I'm pretty excited for. Going into Adepticon this year with both the site events, multiple league events, and higher premier challenges and events. Tell me a little bit about kind of the organization behind running this event in, you know, table setup. Like how was timelines kind of set up to have event attendees, you know, to have options for what they're going to be doing each day?
Yeah, it's a merging kind of two cultures, right? If you were at Gen Con, it's very different, right? Gen Con's a sip and taste sort of hors d'oeuvre version of gaming, right? Not a lot of full weekend adventure there. Adepticon comes at it from almost the complete opposite ends of the spectrum, right? Where it's like you're pretty much booking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday all in, right? And so it really gives people from both ends of that spectrum the opportunity to do whatever they want, right? So each day has kind of a full day event. And then there's tastings, right? Gonk Racing is available. There's the extended Learn to Play demo available. And, you know, you can sprinkle in however you want, right? You can build your own schedule. So that's the overarching thought of it. I don't know, Joe, if you want to talk about how we're gonna put all that together.
How we're going to put all that together. I'm going to say one round at a time. I mean, there's no other way to run it. You know, we've got a good staff group, not just myself and Chris, but we've got a good group to put together that's going to run the core main events. And as I understand it, ADMG is staffing some of them on their own as well. So, you know, it's just going to be a team effort to get it run and let the, you know, give the attendees that weekend experience like Chris was talking about.
Nice. And that's one of the cool things, like, that's really kind of specific about Adepticon, is that AMG is like there on site with a huge booth, making sure every event runs smoothly. And just kind of having that, like, not like, you know, like a big overarching, like third eye, but is there just to make sure people are like having a dope time and stuff is firing off as it should fire off. And I think that's really cool. I think that's a very, as far as conventions go, we go to a whole bunch of stuff. We stream a whole number of things, but having actually AMG there doing their keynote, like going over releases for the next year, it's kind of a big deal that Adepticon is like kind of the place for. Segueing kind of like off of that, have you guys, I'm assuming by this point, have you guys played the new mission pack? It's a couple months older, but
yeah, number one, it's a very different feel, right? It is fast and furious. You know, you can be, you know, by your second activation, you can have four objectives secured in that second mission.
Yeah.
It goes quick, right? And the Shatterpoint activation on the card is kind of a cool, like, oh, you know, it gives that Shatterpoint card even more importance and a more, I don't know, unique feel. So it's pretty cool. I know that was one of the things we went through and picked out in every packet is now that there's actually two missions, like, your squad list actually has to include your mission and trying to make sure that people understand that, because I think that'll be an easy one for people to miss.
I really like that too, just in general, like under the general rules category on a lot of the format rules is no, please remember that your strike team selection must include a mission pack choice. I'm very excited kind of for this next 12 months, for AMG and for Shatterpoint, and that it seems like there's going to be somewhat regular mission pack releases kind of from what they've said. Granted, last year at the keynote, they announced all sorts of stuff, which we're still waiting for to come out. And kind of, Chris, like you said, like we're around the corner from a lot of that finally being out. Of some of the next couple releases, the Plo Koon box, Hondo, what are some of the models and boxes and squads that you guys are most looking forward to that we already know about?
Well, I can answer for myself. I'm all in on Ewoks. I'm looking forward to those.
Hell yeah. Yep.
I do like the idea of the new card they're inserting into the Shatterpoint deck and how that'll change that. How that'll change that with the activations and that extra card in the middle.
Yeah. Yep. And the either of you super fans of the what is it? The Lando, Leia, and the Bar2D2, I think is what the internet has named him.
Absolutely, Bar2D2. Yeah, I'm probably in the opposite spectrum for here for Joe, but I'm all in Vader Empire. I love that. I think it's cool. It's good to see a second version of Vader, and they made him unique from, you know, the sort of version we saw in Obi-Wan Kenobi. I guess spoiler alert: we're in the process of setting up the edits to add Ewoks to Best Buds and Frenemies. So if you feel like painting stuff really, really fast, they'll be available on Thursday and Sunday for you, as well as right all the other events. So, but yeah, those packet reworks or small edits are in the works. But I it's kind of cool too. Like hidden in it, you can see how right there's the ability to look at the Luke and the Vader, and there's a dual pose there, right? Just like the Obi-Wan and Vader in that pack. Across those two packs. I don't know. I think those are cool. They did a good job with them.
Well, we finally have stormtroopers, right? Like, that's kind of a big deal. We've had so many clones. We've had so many droids, so many Jedi, so many Sith. But, like, we actually get stormtroopers now. Like, I'm pretty stoked for that.
I mean, and their choices with the sculpts on the models have been pretty spot on for me. I can remember, like, when the first couple of months when the core box set came out, listening to some other discussion on the internet, and one of the people I was listening to was speculating again about getting Hondo, but you can't have Hondo without his Hondo's pet.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't the fact that we actually have that now? I mean, that's, you know, it's iconic from that part of the cartoons. And Just their choices on the models has been fun too. So
my 12-year-old called it before anybody even knew about it because he's looked at the Shatterpoint card and went, "Hondo's on the card. He must be coming."
Well, and that's one of those things, like with AMG, like on the MCP side, there's tactics cards, which are those big, you know, huge comic moments that you can bring a handful of those into the game, and they have had all sorts of characters on it throughout the years. Characters that are in the game, characters that aren't. But as soon as, like, there's some card art that includes, like, a character that hasn't been revealed, everyone's like, "Oh, confirmed. Yep, they're definitely coming." So that's always one of those speculative things that I think is very fun about the communities around these games, is that as soon as there's, like, some official IP art done, they're like, "Okay. It's happening. It's happening." It might not be until 20, you know, 35, but, like, confirmed.
The internet's never wrong.
It's a great way to put it. Are there characters that you guys both have been, like, super stoked for, like as far as, like, a wish list of characters that could be included in Star Wars Shatterpoint that haven't been announced, but, like, deep down you're like, "Dude, If they come out with this box, like, that's pre-ordered day one"?
For me, it's an easy question. And, well, everything's pre-ordered day one. But the end of the – what was it? The end of the mini extravaganza, the AMG web-based preview session, Thrawn was on a slide. So I was like, "There's my guy." So – dude, I'm super excited to see what they do with him.
Yeah, that's Thrawn is one of those characters, like, I don't ever think I run into people, like, in the wild that are like, "Eh, I don't super care about Thrawn." It's like, you're all in or nothing. He's just one of those characters that just commands a presence. He's one I'm super stoked for. I know that I can't remember. They announced at Adepticon last year, was it? It was either Rebels or Oh, the other show there. I cannot remember. Mandalorian. For both Shatterpoint and Legion. That line blurred for me a little bit. But having something like Mando in there, Thrawn, I think is a huge, huge, huge one. And then just more versions of similar characters. And I think that's something they kind of like set out from the beginning with, where we have, you know, coming up on three Anakins like, yep, throughout the game, two Ahsokas, a couple Obi-Wans. Like, I'm very excited for kind of that, those snapshots that they can do on particular characters kind of going forward. Obviously, you know, a Chewie and a Han, a Kylo, that's the stuff I would be, that I'm super stoked for, that I, you know, if that stuff ever gets announced or if that ever gets included in the game, like having a Kylo Ren is like way, way, way up there for me. Joe, anything that like you would absolutely adore seeing in this game, Star Wars wise?
You know, you mentioned Chewie. I mean, there's a theme with me. I mean, if it's furry and Star Wars, I love it. So, Ewoks, Chewie, you know, all that stuff is right up my alley. So,
nice. Let's see. So, taking a look at, so we've gone over best buds, frenemies, the showdown, Gonk Racing. I mean, we can only kind of speculate there. We don't have the rules. Same with the one with the Force League. But if they're running a league event at Adepticon, I have to feel like, number one, it's a great way to get tickets. Number two, it's probably going to be a kit you want to be able to take home. Similar to Mojo Ball with MCP, or last year for MCP, they had the Peter Parker one. There's a Spider-Man kind of organized play kit where you could play people trying to beat up Spider-Man, or you could play Big Boss Spider-Man, try to take pictures of him unmasked and stuff. And I think one of the things that AMG does very well is organized play kits. We haven't seen a whole ton of that for Shatterpoint so far, but kind of just knowing AMG's pedigree, I think that's something that we can kind of expect. Tell me a little bit about when you guys play casually, or once again at your game store, or with family. Like, have you tried out any just alternate formats, or do you guys just for the most part just go head to head? You pick your guys, you go in, you beat each other up, and flip some points.
Yeah, I can tell you the at least in, and I'm gonna divert your topic slightly to set context. By the time Adepticon rolls around, we're gonna have 34 Shatterpoint tables ready to go. And, you know, this stuff hit in June, so that's about a half a year, a little over half a year to get 34 tables up and running. So a lot of our time is spent building terrain and painting terrain. So playtime, for at least for me, is just, you know, grab something we haven't played before and let's see what it does on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the same with me. I mean, living closer than Chris does to the mothership, being Hank and Peoria, I mean, I get tacked for more than just Shatterpoint on terrain. I mean, we're talking Legion, we're talking 40K, you know, some, a lot of the systems that Adepticon has. So a lot of my spare time away from the family is when it's around Adepticon is that sort of thing. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing it. It's a great group of guys that we put terrain together with. The spray team is spot on with the paint schemes, and there's going to be some real impressive stuff, in my humble opinion, when people see it at Adepticon.
Well, I think That's kind of the premier part of Adepticon, right? If you go to other conventions, like, it's kind of sparse tables. Like, you could tell like a bunch of people have like sourced stuff to get there, but then you get to an Adepticon table, and I mean they're flush, right? Like the terrain is painted to just insanely high level. There's a lot of thought put into table setup and, like you said, the spray team weekends and stuff like that. It's something that we, you know, we've talked to Tisdale a whole bunch about, and Hank. And, I think it's one of the big things that really puts Adepticon at a kind of another level, as far as like attendee experience. And you're right. Sometimes I forget Shatterpoint's only been out for kind of a short amount of time, and the amount of tables put together for an event like Adepticon. And as far as I'm aware, I don't think there's been another event that has had the table set up, the event diversity, and the player count for Shatterpoint. Like, we're kind of coming into that first, the ending of that kind of like first full year since it was announced. So tell me a little bit about that experience. I know that that's a super, super heavy load to get all of that stuff done for Adepticon. And those tables, you know, they travel a little bit. They go to Gen Con, they go to, you know, other regional events. Like, Adepticon's kind of the focal point of making sure that events run smoothly outside of itself.
Yeah, it's always been, you know, it's always been kind of a core tenet, right? We ask you to paint your models. The least we can do is paint our terrain, right? Make it look good. It just in a microcosm this weekend, right? You know, Friday night was paint 140 ladders for Shatterpoint. Cool. Knock that out. jumped on a group with, what, four other guys. Joe, I think you were in it. And yep. In roughly 18 hours, knocked out 16 Legion tables.
That's not a small task. 16 Legion tables. All right.
Yeah, I think that's right. You're going to see it, right? Like Legion and Shatterpoint are close enough that it's Star Wars, right? So the terrain is going to, I think that's going to start to merge over time. So we're kind of leaning into that already.
Well, that makes a ton of sense, right? Like, I think there's Shatterpoint has been kind of a great gateway into Legion or from Legion, into MCP or from MCP. Like, we have a huge base around here where, like, people that, you know, were super into MCP are now playing Shatterpoint as well. And both of those games being kind of that skirmish size kind of allows you to, like, actually be able to play both. Legion, to a similar extent, if you don't have the 3.5 hours to play a Legion game on like a local game night, you could probably get in two games of Shatterpoint. Like, I think having that diversity in play style and time, especially as people get busier, you have kids, you have jobs, you have stuff going on, it puts it in a really good spot to just kind of be that flex game that you can dive into as much as you want. But also, like, you can actually just show up and play a game quick, too, if you only have a couple hours.
Yeah, well, I think the other nice thing, too, is that, you know, like, the AMG tables, right, the AMG terrain they have, it goes together fairly quick. It paints up reasonably quick. If you don't want to spend a lot of time on it, you can make it look pretty good, right, quickly. And once you have it, you can play Shatterpoint or Legion on it. Like, you know, you can play a Legion game on a Shatterpoint table, and it's not the worst thing in the world.
Well, yeah, the scales are so similar. Like, they're not the same, but, like, it's close enough. You can kind of do a lot there. Have you guys played Legion at all? Do you have a background in Legion or X-Wing or even, like, Star Wars Destiny before coming to Shatterpoint?
So I can tell you that I was for a long time a 40K guy.
Same, folks, yeah.
Folks that have been at Adepticon will recognize me from the 40K side of the TO world for a long, long time. But I was dabbling in Legion when it came out. I've got tons of X-Wing, pretty much the entire set of Armada. And I've got three Legion armies. So when Shatterpoint came out, it was like I was pretty much broken up with 40K and then moved on. And I was like, oh, my God, it's everything I wanted, right? It's 90 minutes. It's quick. It's easy to set up. It's easy to break down. List writing takes like 35 seconds, right? So having a full slate of Star Wars behind me, it was a pretty easy sell.
Yeah, I mean, for my case, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I started out playing, you know, things like Necromunda and Blood Bowl, and then segued into 40K before I ever really met Chris. And by the time I started showing up to Adepticon, was kind of all in on 40K. And you know, that pace with their release schedule and the size of armies got too much. So I kind of stepped away from miniatures for a little while and went to board gaming. And then Chris had kind of introduced me to some Legion stuff. So I started kind of looking into it, kind of partially drinking the Kool-Aid for Legion. And then they announced Shatterpoint. And I'm like, okay, I'm putting Legion back away because that's still a big, big army list game. And mm-hmm. just, you know, definitely decided to take the plunge into Shatterpoint with Chris and some other friends that I'd been gaming alongside for many years. So it's been a really good segue back into miniatures gaming for me. I mean, I'd had dabbled in a couple other side games in over the years, but nothing really heavy.
I don't think that's a super uncommon experience either. Like we talk to a lot of people, and the burnout that sometimes happens with a GW game, whether it be the community, the pricing, the release schedule, the, you know, I got to wait two editions for my particular army to be relevant again. There's a lot of people that are like, you know what? I'm all right. I'm going to step away for a little bit. Thankfully, board games are in a very healthy spot, and they have been for a hot minute at this point. But to come back into a skirmish game is a very easy gateway for anyone that's ever really kind of either already been in miniatures gaming or is just breaking into it. I think Shatterpoint is a very, it's one of those like broad base, high ceiling games where like it's very obtainable. You can teach. So I have a 12-year-old as well. That I've taught to play MCP and Shatterpoint. And I would dread trying to teach him 40K. I would dread that. But Shatterpoint was kind of a great experience. And we can play and we can get into it. We can have some laughs. But if we want to get better, there's also that opportunity for that. Have you kind of had a similar experience with that with Chris, like as far as like you and your kid, like playing that, was that kind of an easy pickup? And just kind of in general, like, have you guys taught the game to other people before? Kind of how was that experience as a whole?
Yeah. So a couple of things there, right? So I had actually taught Bryson, he's the 12-year-old. I taught him Legion, because it was what we had at the time. And I could tell it was like he was there, but the movie in his head hadn't really clicked in yet. It's just a little too complex. And then last year, Sunday, we went to the, you know, final day of Adepticon just to catch the demo. And I could see like him and, you know, I was there with one of Hank's younger sons and like you could just see their eyes light up. They're like, oh, like this is it, right? And so you could immediately see that happen. So teaching him was fairly easy. I mean, he's actually to the point where he plays just as well as I do, which, you know, for a 12-year-old, maybe I'm not as good as I used to be, but he's pretty good at it, right? It's a game he can pick up. And it's just one of those things where you evaluate where you're at in life and, you know, do you have 3.5 hours to play a game with an hour on the bookends to set up and break down, right? Or yeah. Can you just leave a 3x3 thing on the game table downstairs and be like, hey, let's rock a Shatterpoint game. Because if you really, really want to, you can get it done in 60 minutes, right? I mean, 60 to 90 minutes is pushing the end of it. So I don't know. It's an easy sell if you're at that point in your life. And, you know, the game itself, while it is simple, it's not simplistic, right? There's depth.
Yeah. Yep.
In it.
I like your comment about the movie in his head hadn't yet clicked. I mean, that's really kind of the appeal of, I mean, back in the day, the appeal for 40K was initially the storyline backstory. It was extremely robust for that. Well, I mean, Star Wars has the exact same thing. I mean, you have so much storyline and things to soak your teeth into from a cinematic standpoint. I mean, to be honest about it, I hadn't watched the Clone Wars cartoons up until Shatterpoint dropped, and Chris and the group that were talking about it just kept dropping all these situations that had happened in the cartoons, and I'm like, all right, I guess I better start watching that. And yeah, just opened up a whole new set of story arcs that I'd never known about, and it's been really fun to soak into that too.
Well, that's what Shatterpoint does so well. right? Like it captures the cinematic moments of Star Wars. You know, you're jumping and flipping and flying across the board and pushing people, right? Like the combat aspect of it is really just a gateway to unlock more cinematic craziness, which coming from a miniatures game like Legion or like 40K takes a minute, but then once you latch onto it, you're like, oh, this is really cool.
I think that's a great way to put it. Like as far as takeaways, the cinematic in your head, I think is just a very, very stellar way to put it. And I think Clone Wars too, in general, that was a show that I had not really super dove into until Shatterpoint. Seeing some of those characters come out, and it's like, listen, Darth Maul's always looked rad, right? But I was unaware of some of the storylines and stuff that they could really kind of pull from. I think Maul very specifically is a character that we could see multiple versions of, similar to Ahsoka or Obi-Wan, Vader, etc. So I think there's just such a huge wealth of content to pull from in just Clone Wars alone. Like, I think the game's going to be set up for kind of a long time as far as, like, getting that hype and getting those characters out there that people really care about.
Well, you said it earlier, right? Like, frenemies like Ahsoka and Maul. Well, Clone Wars Season 7, right? Maul's trying to get out. Ahsoka's trying to get out. And for 30 minutes, they're frenemies, right?
Yep.
And, you know, so, like, and I think you're right. AMG does a really good job of letting people explore that by giving them the opportunity. And I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast.
For sure.
So one of the last things I want to go over on some of the player packs for specifically Frenemies and Best Buds. I'm sure it's in some of the other ones as well. But the non-prize wall awards. So we've certainly speculated and we know that there's going to be a massive prize wall at Adepticon with some awesome stuff and just participating in organized play kits or events, leagues, tournaments are going to get you tickets to really get some really kind of like rad stuff. But the non-prize wall awards for Shatterpoint, there's three categories: best appearance, best display, and best spirit. As TOs, as judges, just for a lot of the people out there, like, what are you looking for outside of the super obvious? Well, and actually probably even including the super obvious for those kind of non-prize wall awards.
Yeah, so we teased it, right? Like, I spent a lot of time in 40K, and the team tournament was my passion. And, you know, one of our mantras in that group was reward what you want to see more of, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the 40K team tournament is a spectacle unto its own. And right? I mean, display base is bigger than you are, you know, people in full cosplay costumes, like, just celebrating what they love, right? And so we're trying to bring that spirit, and I don't think it's going to be a stretch to get some Star Wars folks into that as well, right?
Yeah, yep.
So it gives us an opportunity to say, hey, you know, we're going to reward you for doing cool stuff, whether it's, you know, any of those things. And, you know, between the display bases and the appearance, there's the opportunity to get into, there's that, you know, we do that showcase aspect in the foyer on Saturday night of like, hey, if you want to see the best of the show in one spot, come to the foyer at 9 o'clock on Saturday night and, you know, your mind will be blown. So there's mm-hmm. an opportunity to invite folks into that through this and just celebrate cool stuff that people do.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't think we've highlighted enough is, in fact, the showcase that is kind of its own, like, huge walk of, walk of fame is not the way to put it, but, like, it's kind of an event in itself. I know Miniac is going to be there this year, Eric Locke, and Adam Loper, and I think that's one thing. The first year our group went to Adepticon, we weren't kind of super aware that was a thing until we were tearing down stream and heading back, you know, to the room. And we kind of walked through it and we're like, yo, like there's, I think as far as like other events we've been to, there's kind of not a setup for display boards and hobbying and at the same level there is at Adepticon. I think we first got keyed into it because there was a bunch of dudes dressed up as like Vikings carrying this massive display board through the hallways in the Schomburg in the Renaissance, like through the lower hallway there, and it's just like, yo, what's going on?
Well, I mean, you know, all of us have a competitive side, and trying your best to win a game is fun. But really, for me, some of the highlights of Adepticon throughout the years, and I've been at every Adepticon since number 3. So, just the ability to look and see people's passions brought to life and what they're interested in, and the creativity they put into it, the time and effort they put into it because they love the miniatures gaming as a hobby. I mean, and treat the wins and losses as a bonus, as a way to play a game while doing their hobby. It's just, that's, that to me is the fun thing to watch at Adepticon.
Well, I think that's very unique. Like, the team format is kind of like what Adepticon is known for, whether it's 40K, MCP, Shatterpoint, AMG stuff, GW stuff. Teaming up, working together, and making a theme is very prevalent at Adepticon as a whole. And one of the things that like we really like to see, kind of as you both touched on, are, you know, either, but maybe it's couples, maybe it's two close friends that they dress up, they cosplay a little bit, they make an awesome display board. It has a bunch of in jokes or memes or whatnot. And it's just not something you get to see other places that are super competitively focused. There is going to be a lot of competitively focused people at Adepticon, just like any of it. But having the showmanship to really turn up in a dope way and go all out in both personal dress and display, I think it's very, something that's very exclusive to Adepticon itself. Have you guys participated in like the Adepticup before for other game systems? Have you created display boards? Joe, I know you said you've been there since Adepticon 3, which is just rad like, in general.
That's the nicest way of calling me old. You've ever, anybody know you're done.
But what's some of the greatest stuff that you guys have seen kind of at that display of armies kind of throughout the years? Like, I know just in, we've only been there 2 years and we've seen some insane stuff. So I'm super curious about, you know, the longer longevity of that.
So are you asking about like some of like the display boards that have stepped out in their mind, or?
Yeah. Yep.
So honestly, there, Chris, and you're gonna have to help me with this. There was a group that put together this kind of orc juggernaut ship of sorts.
Yep, that was where I was going to go.
Oh my God. The amount of hours that had to have gone into that was just mind-blowing. There was hangar bays with different cinematic scenes in about every bay on this ship. And I think it was probably the size of a 4-foot by 6-foot table, but in three dimensions.
I think it was closer to 12 to 15 feet long when it was fully assembled. They basically made whatever the... And my 40K lingo is a little off, but whatever the orc cruiser is in the 40K space game, they made one of those in 28mm scale.
And then they populated it with their models and just the scenes that they created in each of these little pockets on this ship that they had cutaways for. It was just, it was stellar. I mean, and That one sticks out because of the sheer magnitude of it, but there have been so many come through that even on a smaller scale, the quality and the level of craftsmanship, you know, there's a ton of stuff. So, I mean, like with Shatterpoint being a small model count army, I mean, or, you know, forces, it's going to be interesting to see if people want to go to that extent, but their display board is probably going to be 1.5 by 1.5 or something, and then still show that creativity and that, you know, that craftsmanship, you know, on a small scale list. I'm looking forward to seeing if people do that.
Yeah, and we may not get it year one, right?
No.
But you know, it's out there, and Shatterpoint will draw from existing people that know Adepticon. So our, you know, Joe and I, our job is to grow that culture within the Shatterpoint community at Adepticon. And I'm sure by, you know, year two, year three, even if we don't get it this year, if we get it this year, it'll be like a pleasant surprise, right? But I think, you know, within a couple of years, folks will get it. And I think we'll see some fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm super stoked for. Just thinking to last year, there was a married couple that came in with some stuff for Marvel Crisis Protocol. They were playing Spider-Man and Web Warriors, and they had this insane display board. They were wearing matching T-shirts, like just enjoying the game together. And I think that's very unique to Adepticon, and one of the things that I'm really excited to see how that develops for Shatterpoint, because you have a long legacy of just like, you know, Lucasfilm stuff in general. So you have Shatterpoint's in a very lucky spot where there's a lot to pull from right out of the gate, but a ton to look forward to because there's only been so many models out, but also still a healthy amount of models out. And that's something I'm very excited for, especially at Adepticon.
Well, at its core, right, you know, there will always be a place for competitive play at Adepticon, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you can really only reward one or two people, right? That's it, right? At the end of the 64 player showdown, somebody's going to slog through seven rounds and come out on top, and you can recognize one person. But you have unlimited ability to recognize cool in whatever facet, format, or, you know, form it takes. Right. And so it's keeping that in the back of your mind. Like, there's a lot of ways to have fun. And if you recognize what you want to see more of, you will.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to put it. So I think that kind of brings us to the end here. If you're unaware out there, Adepticon is going to be, pretty big this year. It was pretty massive last year. Since it came back after COVID, it's kind of grown and grown and grown and grown, and I don't think that we're anywhere near the limit that Adepticon could potentially have in store. If you haven't picked up tickets yet, adepticon.org, March 20th to the 24th is when the events go. Even just showing up to check out the vendor hall and to see some of the sites in the Schomburg itself is kind of an experience in itself. I would highly recommend it. It was the first con we here at the network ever went to, and we were absolutely spoiled by that. It kind of, you know, it sets a precedent that other cons can't really compete with, especially at its size. There, you know, there's stuff like Gen Con that has, you know, 85,000-88,000 people at it. And Adepticon still kind of, you know, competes, right? Like it's macro versus microeconomics, but Adepticon is really kind of the place to be to have an experience for miniatures wargaming, whether it's GW, whether it's AMG, Rumble Slam, Arena Rex. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's the place to go. It's the mecca of miniatures wargaming. But a massive thank you to Chris and Joe, guys. Thank you for coming on today and talking about it. Shatterpoint is something that we've added on to the network, you know, since release, and we'll be streaming it there this year along with MCP. And I'm incredibly excited for Adepticon 2024. And yeah, just appreciate your guys' time and the hard work. And I think one thing that's a takeaway for Adepticon is that the staff, the TOs, put in untold amounts of time into making sure that the terrain and the setup and the attendee experience is like at its highest level. So really appreciate both of you guys and what you guys do, as well as kind of the whole Adepticon staff.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Good time. We'll see you there, and fun will be had by many.
I'm absolutely positive on that. But all right, guys, thank you so much. We'll see you guys next week, and hopefully we'll see you all at Adepticon 2024.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you, on Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.